Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. Bye-bye.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris in the Extra Hour. Oh my goodness, listen, we just finished in the first hour. Prophetic warning to America. I mean, it was for America. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Speaker of the House is firing Christians.
Amazing.
The third most powerful person in the government. You have the president, the vice president, something happens to either one of them. I mean, it falls on the Speaker.
Speaker of the House, yeah.
And the Speaker of the House is firing Christians. My goodness, listen, if you missed this and you're just joining in, tuning in for the Extra Hour, listen, you want to be able to hear the first hour. You want to hear the first hour. It's a prophetic warning for America. Well, we're actually going to be talking in this Extra Hour about God.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Psalm 91. I was abiding, guys, and powerful. Yet, you know, we sometimes can become so familiar with a verse of scripture or a scripture that sometimes we read over words. I mean, there was a time where I had to literally put my finger over every word I was reading to pause.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. You wouldn't miss something.
Yeah, see, they just don't wax over it.
Yeah. Oh, I've read this before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And we got to do whatever measures to slow ourselves down. But Psalm 91, we'll look at this chapter today. Mm-hmm. Because listen, there is nothing to fear when you belong to God.
Right.
There's nothing to fear. You know, and you're going to be seeing in coming days and coming months, you're going to be seeing some serious things happen on the face of this earth. And your first reaction does not need to be fear. But it needs to be faith in God. I mean, he told us, listen, in this life, right? We're going to see things happen, but it's just going to be able to help us to even draw closer to him and to look up to the hills where our true help comes from. Look up to heaven. Well, Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Think about it. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. I think that even Israel's airplane is called El Isle. It means Most High, I think.
Oh, there is it. Wow.
Yeah, El Isle. But he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, many today are looking for rest. They're looking for peace. And so many times, you know, as a believer, we can enjoy so much rest and peace that maybe we become accustomed to it and have forgotten what it was like not to have true peace. I mean, there's people today that are just, and maybe that's you. You're tuning in and you are so, you've been running. Nowhere to hide, nowhere to lay your head. And there's no peace in your life. God promises that he who dwells, he who makes his home, his abode, his house in God, in the shelter of the Most High, will rest under the shadow, in the shadow of the Almighty. When you make God your home, when you make God your habitation, when he becomes your abiding place, where he is the number one thing. You there's a rest and there's a peace that comes upon your life. In fact, you know, the Word of God says that he'll give you peace that surpasses all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
That word transcends, meaning it surpasses, it rises above your ability to understand. And when the world is facing all sorts of calamities and all sorts of things are happening, you need the peace of God to wrap around you. You wear it as a cloak, as a blanket.
Right.
And it's just so good. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Let me tell you, I mean, people are putting their trust in a lot of things. That, you know what? And when I didn't know God, I was doing the same thing.
That's right.
You put your trust in yourself and your money and your resources and what you're able to do. Tons of people today are putting their trust in the government.
Mm.
And all of our trust needs to be in God.
Right.
I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely, surely, he will save you from the fowler snare and from the deadly pestilence. I mean, they're talking about chemical weapons, all kinds of stuff. Listen, there comes a point where you know, if there's not enough mass, if there's not enough, you just don't know what's out there.
Right.
It's only going to be the supernatural hand of God that will keep us covered and keep us totally protected. Why are we talking about this? We're talking about not being caught up in the tragedy of the news, but to build our faith and to remember the promises and the faithfulness of who God is.
That's right.
Right? He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You talking about faithful? Revelation says that the rider of the horse, his name is the Faithful and Just. He's faithful.
Yeah.
First John says that he is faithful and just to forgive you of all of your sins.
Can't beat that.
A friend that Proverbs speaks of that's closer than a brother. I mean, we talked yesterday about unfailing love. How priceless is his unfailing love when you're talking about the faithfulness of God? There's nothing like resting and leaning on someone that's faithful.
Right.
And ain't nothing worse than leaning and resting on someone that isn't.
Mm-mm. That's right.
You're falling all over the place. And when we have God, we can run to him. We can take refuge in him. He says, listen, no, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. There's just no fear in God. Perfect love casts out all fear. 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you.
Mm.
I'm talking about the protection, the divine iron dome of God over your life and over your family. I'm talking about that God has your back.
That's right.
If you have his back, right?
That's right.
And even when we don't, While we were yet sinners, Christ loved us.
Mm-hmm.
Says you will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. So you'll only see what's happening, but you won't experience it. If, here's that huge little word, if.
Mm-hmm.
If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. And oftentimes, people that don't know God blame God for things that happen. But there's a protection when you stay close to God. And I often say that, listen, if you're walking with your children down a busy street and you tell them to hold your hand as you're crossing the street, and they let go of your hand, in fact, pull away from your hand, as some children do,
right,
and run out in the middle of the street and get hit and killed by a car, did the parent push them in the middle of the street? Or was the kid who snatched his hand from the protective care of the parent that wound up running into a place where there was danger? Let me tell you something. When you disobey God, when you snatch your hand outside of his protection and guidance and love, listen, when you go into the area of darkness, what are you going to find? You can't look for safety if you're running to the place of darkness. Right?
That's right.
He says, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command, listen to this, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. God is going to command his angels.
Yeah.
Think of this concept, guard you, right? To guard your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not even strike your foot against the stone. Even the devil knows that when he tried to tell that to Jesus in Luke 4. He tried to manipulate and twist this word and says, you know, go ahead, you know, throw your... He was trying to tempt Jesus after Jesus came out fast, you know, from a fasting in the desert. Not even, there's no danger going to befall you. Listen, because God's going to command his angels towards you. You will tread upon the lion, and on the cobra you will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. My name. Listen to this. I mean, listen, what are we seeing when people are just taking the name of God and just not honoring him and not respecting him? When we don't place God at the forefront of our nation, we don't place God at the forefront of our home, when God's not the centerpiece, when we're doing everything that tears down and just, we don't retain the knowledge of God, he'll give us over to a depraved mind, a futile mind, to a darkened heart. But this is it. God, if you love me, if you honor me, it's because he loves me. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. Let me tell you something. We just barely yesterday jumped into the benefits of God in Psalm 103. But let me tell you, God is for you. We need to remind ourselves. We need to remember the goodness of our God. And we need to know that God is always an ever-present help in the time of trouble. That he longs to be with us and longs to protect us and will protect us. We just need to make sure that he who dwells in the shadow, it's us. We need to make the effort to make him our abode, our house. We need to come up underneath the wings of him. God's not going to force it upon us, but when we draw close to God, he'll draw close to us.
Right.
You know, and if God is for you, who in the world could be against you?
Right.
We'll be right back.
You know, it's so important, Pat, to you know, you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God. And you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, you know, when you just want to know the way of God. You want to know what he wants. He's called us to do three very simple things. You know, the great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
Love our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love our neighbor as ourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Great Commission is to lead other people to love God.
Right.
Which is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You know, that is so important. that you need to be trained up, you know, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called and you want to go into the Great Commission and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. You know, think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You know, it begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by His Spirit, to be able to go out and be witnesses for Him.
Right.
And you know, I mean, VFNU is just so, I mean, you probably, you, I don't know. All we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation from the Lord. I mean, every time that you go in, you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any and the next wave of revelation that comes. And what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, so, man, I am ready to obey God. Right. I can see clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up for the harvest field, you want to, you know, maybe you're called to do, for a church plant, that you're, there's something inside of you, you've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio, and Steve Hill, that the hope for turning a country around, or a nation around, or America around, is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
Right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org, Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis, or biweekly, or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget, or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com. Well, you know, I do want to say this morning, to encourage you, that VFN TV 3.0 app has arrived. We have all the new arrangements and conditions, and I know you already like it. It's got the, when you turn on your or open your VFN TV 3.0 app, you're going to have the recent broadcast will come right up. Anything that's happened on VFN TV, VFN Radio recently, right then. So you don't have to look for anything. I mean, what just happened will be right there in front of you. And then at the top, you have recent in the menu, but you also have series.
Mm-hmm.
And series, you just touch it and it carries you over to the different series, like the highlights, mm-hmm. which also Original Intent and
right.
Wisdom Moments and
prophetic words
mm-hmm. and those are series that it has right there. And then you have alphabetized next to it, which helps you if you're just looking for something. Hey, I remember that thing about the prodigal, and you could just choose alphabetize. But then at the bottom you can choose live. Like a lot of you listen right now live, and that's available for you. You got to check it out. You know, if you haven't yet downloaded the VFN TV app or seen your upgrade yet, go to your iTunes store, go to your Google Play store, and type in VFN TV. It's V Victor FN TV, and you download the VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program app, and it's free. It's there for you to be able to encourage you. You're going to need an encouraging voice. You're going to need words of wisdom. And we need to build our relationship now so we're understanding each other, and we can trust each other and realize that we're in this for the right reason, capital R, Jesus Christ, and for the advancement of the king as his kingdom and the safety of his people. I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get right. people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America,
then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. Mm-hmm. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. What was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums fill with people. We've seen them fill with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN Radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Wow. Welcome back to VFN Radio. Thank you for joining us in the extra hour. I'm John, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. We were just talking before the break how God has your back. We're talking about Psalm 91. Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Man, I love that song. It's beautiful.
Isn't that awesome?
Mm-hmm. He's got our back, don't he?
He's got our back. I love the Word of God. I know you had some things on your heart to do that God was speaking to you about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, God's been really talking to me the last couple of days about suffering.
Oh, goodness.
I remember when I first got saved, you know, I started reading the book of Revelations, and, you know, I was you just love, you know, prophecy and things that are coming. And that was a wild, wild book when I first read it. And I was like, man.
Right.
And of course, my theology at that time, man, we're definitely post-trib. It's post-trib. We're going to go through some stuff, man. We're going to suffer greatly. And, but anyway, you know, of course, as you grow as a believer, you know, you kind of look at things a little bit differently. And you read about suffering. You know, a lot of times we suffer because of our own foolishness, you know, but the Bible talks about, you know, to this we were called to suffer, you know, it's much greater to suffer for the cause of Christ, you know, for standing up for righteousness, you know.
Yes.
But how often is that the case? You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, you hear the other side where people say, well, if you're suffering, obviously you've done something wrong.
Obviously.
You're right. Obviously in sin. What have you done?
Right.
You know, but the Bible says clearly, you know, that's a lot of times that's something God's working, something else out in you.
Mm.
And I was just had me reading a book of Job here recently. And just in the first couple of chapters, and that book's always
that encouraging
baffled
book.
Me. Yeah. Especially in the very beginning where it talks about, you know, when the angels and Satan were presenting themselves before the Lord. It's like, wow, I wonder what that meeting was like. And then, of course, then the Lord says to Satan, he says, have you considered my servant Job? There was no one on the earth like him. He is blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil. And, of course, here's Satan's reply to that. He says, well, does Job fear God for nothing? You know, have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all his goods? Have you not blessed the work of his hands, so his flocks and his herds that are spread throughout the land? But he says, but strike your hand against everything he has, and surely he will curse you to his face.
Mm.
But God says, okay, well, let's try that theory.
Mm.
So he gave him permission to do that. And so, you know, in a day, Job loses everything.
Wow.
Everything. He loses his flocks, his herds, his he lost servants, he lost all 10 of his children in a day.
Wow.
But in all that, Job did not curse the name of the Lord. So then, of course, that's the second time, you know, Satan appears before the Lord, and he goes, well, if you strike his body, his flesh, if you really just, you know, go against that, then obviously he'll definitely curse you to your face. So again, okay, give it a shot. See what happens. And then, I mean, we'll go into the whole thing, but, you know, obviously, Job did not curse the Lord. Went through major suffering. A serious, major suffering. I mean, his body was covered with boils to the point where he was, like, scraping the scabs off with pottery. And horrible. I can imagine going through that. And, of course, Job went on that journey, you know, of self-pity and whatever, and questioning God, but he never cursed God. He never talked against the Lord. He knew better than that because he did fear the Lord. Of course, his encouragers were of no help. His wife even said, curse God and die.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, I was like, great. Bad enough, I'm dying over here.
Encourage me here.
You're right. You're over here shooting your mouth off. Like, just go away. Just go away. But if
curse God. Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. But if you read in James, it says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you are mature, complete, and not lacking anything. A lot of times, people are just fair weather believers, you know, they're they're all about God and everything. Everything's just great and everything's going right.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as the first wind comes along,
first trial,
they're gone. You know what I'm saying? know, they don't fill out the church, you know, they quit tithing, you know, everything just, you know, comes to an end.
I'm done.
It's over. This God thing ain't working.
Mm.
You know, obviously, you know, you sinned kind of thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it's the testing of our faith. It's those times of trials and sufferings. He's saying, consider pure joy. Mm. Those are the times that our characters are built.
Mm.
You know, which makes you stronger.
Yeah.
You know, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a negative thing, which doesn't make sense to the natural mind.
Sure.
Like, how can this suffering be good? How can these boils be good? How can all my losing everything be a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
But if you read the rest of the story of Job, he gets it all back. I think it was like sevenfold.
And then some.
And
yeah.
then some. I mean, it was like, if you hang on,
mm-hmm.
if you don't quit,
right?
You know, if you don't give up,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a blessing on the other end of this.
Sure.
You know, but you're going to learn something through this trial.
Right.
Man, that is so, so powerful, so true. I think about in Hebrews, when Jesus, Hebrews 5, says during...
Yeah, go ahead.
This is during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, although he was a son,
mm-hmm.
he learned obedience from what he suffered.
Mm-hmm.
And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be the high priest in the order of Melchizedek.
Mm.
I mean, he's like, wait a minute. Jesus.
All right.
Jesus suffered. He learned obedience by what he suffered. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. wow. And it was reverent submission. And get this. And once he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation. He had to be made perfect. The suffering made him perfect. And once he was made perfect at that time, he became the source of eternal salvation. And it's like, man, you got to be willing to go through. So God's mm-hmm. doing something.
Right.
Now, we talked about that in a segment not too long ago. It says, don't think it's strange. God's just working on you.
Exactly.
And you can find that on the VFN Torch. Don't think
right.
it's strange.
Right. If Jesus had to suffer. If Jesus had to suffer, come on,
mm-hmm.
you know, come on. You can go through that little trial. Come on.
Right.
You know, yeah. you're not being crucified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're not having your beaten and flogged and having your beard ripped out. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true.
You can hang in there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's amazing. You know, I also read in Matthew 5, it says, he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good.
Mm.
And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know what I'm saying? So it's nothing strange that you go through things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you come to God doesn't mean you're never going to go through anything ever again. It's not this get out of jail free card. It's
right.
Everything's going to be perfect and just wonderful now. It's not like that.
No.
You know, not like that at all. And you're looking at these people, they're obviously unrighteous. And it looks like they're just prospering. Everything's going well for them. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
man, what's the point in serving God? Look at these evil people. Look what they're, you know. They're blessed.
Right. But Jesus tells us not to even do that.
Exactly.
Right. Because exactly. without him, we're all evil. I mean, if we just took one pinky off
Hello.
Of us.
Hello. You just got your reward.
Yeah, exactly.
So, exactly. yeah, it just gave me a great understanding, great perspective on, you know, the purpose for suffering. And there's a purpose for it. You know, it's not a negative. It's not necessarily a negative thing.
I tell you what, don't waste your suffering.
Mm-mm.
I mean, your suffering, you could either get... bitter, you can get better, but you can't get both.
Right.
And if you know, if you're going to suffer, you know what I'm saying? The first question is, okay, God.
What he's saying, yeah.
Because he could use it. I mean, uh-huh. God's not, he's not trying to torture us. He's not trying to,
mm-hmm.
but there's things that we have to learn. There's things that we grow in God through some of the trials that we go through.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest things that it does is allows us to find out where our dependency is. Who are we trusting in?
Exactly. It's definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a testing of our faith.
It's
are
the
we
test.
Really in the faith? Are we just a fair weather believer?
Yeah. Because let me tell you something. When the trials come, talk about, you know, having any roots, when the cares of this world happen, if you don't have it, if your roots are not down deep, you're going to be tossed all over the place. You're going to be ripped to shreds, and it's the trial. It's the trial that you can find God in that trial. Let me tell you something. I mean, there's nothing more beautiful than finding God in the midst of a trial. Mm. You know,
so much sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and thank God for it. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you could be going through something today, and it's the trial of your life. It's you. 6 months ago, a month ago, you could never imagine going through what you're going through today.
Right.
And it's these sobering moments sometimes that happen in our lives that causes us to kind of shake us a little bit and to help us to do that recalibrating, that realigning, refocusing, mm-hmm. and remembering on the things that matter most. You know, who is God? Mm-hmm. What is he to me? And how's my relationship with him right now? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Right. I remember, you know, I look back on my life and it's during those times that I grew the most.
Yeah.
You know, because it's during those times that you're at the cross. You know, you're at the feet of Jesus, you know, and we go through these different trials because God is trying to grow us and strengthen us for the things that are even coming that haven't even hit us yet.
That's right.
You know, these are times of preparation for even the things that we're talking about now.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. we went through what we've gone through to prepare us for what's coming next.
That's right.
Right.
Right. That's very good.
Right.
Yeah. It just builds our strength.
Exactly.
You know, if I can handle this, you know, it's going to give me energy and strength to handle this next thing.
Right.
Absolutely. And once you see God pull you through this trial, believe you me, you'll have faith to believe God will pull you through the next one. And not only will you have faith for yourself, but then now you can become an extension of God's love because now you can go back and you can encourage people and you can minister people and say, let me tell you something. What God did for me, he could surely do for you.
Exactly right.
The word of your testimony.
That's right.
Absolutely. And suffering also allows us to have empathy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's amazing that when you don't go through anything, your two things diminish, your ability to empathize with others, and that's just to go kind of mm-hmm. go through and feel what they've been feeling, and your ability to love is greatly diminished. But let me tell you something. Be sick in your body for a little while. Mm-hmm. Be hurting a little while in your body, and you will look at people that are sick in a completely different way. Absolutely. You know, I might have said this before, but, you know, when I was sick with the flu one time, and I was so just terribly ill. I mean, for a long time, I'd hear people say they had the flu, and I thought they were just having a cold. I'm like, what are you all complaining about? It's just a cold. You know?
Get over it. Just take a pill.
Yeah. You know, I'm the type of person, I don't slow down, you know, I'll keep going sick or whatever, and not probably the wisest thing to do. Not the wisest thing to do, but it's just kind of how I'm wired. And and so I'm like, you know, take some calm medicine and let's go. Come on. until I got the flu one day. And I got this flu that hit me so bad. I mean, I was out of work for an entire week. I mean, that's never, ever, ever happened to me, ever. I just could not get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you that there was no medication. Mm-hmm. There was nothing that could help me. Listen, when you're sick and you can't shake it, all I could do is just lay in my bed and pray. But sick was one thing. The pain that I felt in my body, the only way I could describe it is if someone turned me over, and I'm laying on my belly, and just beat me with a bat from the top of my back all the way down to the bottom of my feet. It was just excruciating. It hurt me to sit.
Yeah.
And instantly, as I was just praying in pain, you know, it just felt like I had such a compassion came over me for the elderly. And I'm thinking, Lord, how many elderly today? I mean, if I'm sick with the flu, are there any elderly that are going through what I'm going through right now? I'm strong and I'm young and I'm going through this. And I'm whimpering here in pain because the pain was just unreal.
Right.
And I just, all this compassion just started welling up for the elderly and their sickness.
That's right.
And so, you know, unless you have been out of work and you can't put food on the table, unless you've been through a trial and you've lost a loved one, you know what I'm saying? Unless you went through something that you never thought you could ever go through. And the thing is that, you know, we talked about this in the first hour. Why does the church have to be persecuted? Why do we have to go through a suffering before we can look up and turn to God?
That's right.
that's the whole thing about having an attitude of gratitude and begin your prayer life, begin your time communing and talking with God with the first things that you say to him is, listen, after I love you, I thank you. Mm-hmm. And keep going. We've oftentimes, you know, we don't want our prayer life to be a list of, you know, submitting a check wreck from God, if you will, a check, mm-hmm. check requisition from God. This is what I need. And, you know, right. can you hook me up and can you send me that check? And can you, but we want to start off with an attitude of gratitude and just mm-hmm. begin to start thanking him.
Absolutely.
Man, we are so incredibly blessed, and it's something that we talk about here often. But listen, we have new VFN radio listeners joining us every single day. And if you're joining us now, you're joining us in the extra hour. And we've been talking about sufferings and trials and things that we've gone through looking at the life of Job. Mm-hmm. But you know, you were sharing, Pat, that James says that, listen, welcome, you know,
yeah.
look at these trials with joy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, welcome these trials as friends because it's the perfecting of your faith. And if Jesus himself learned obedience from the things he suffered and the student is not above the master, mm-hmm. we can embrace the same attitude.
To this we were called, right?
To this we were called. I mean, you either find yourself in one of three places. You're either coming out of a trial, either, you know, go in the middle of a trial.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you're about to get in one.
You're about to face one. That's where America's at right now.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's where we're at.
America thinks that they're suffering, but they're not suffering yet.
Right. I mean, they're suffering for many reasons. You know, like I said before, it could be because of your own foolishness, which is where America's at right now, because we turn our backs on God.
Mm-hmm.
Or because God's obviously wanting to work something out in you that needs to be strengthened.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Which end of that are we going to be on, right?
But the level of suffering that is going to come upon this land...
Mm.
Unless there's repentance, it's going to be really great. And what we're talking about here is encouragement for you mm-hmm. to remember that, listen, no matter how big or small that trial may be, remember that you can turn to God. It's never too late to turn to God.
That's
and if there's nothing you've ever could have done that God will reject you and turn his back on you. And you the enemy may be condemning you because you're in this trial and it was your fault and you did this and now you're going through a situation. It's not just you, but now your family's going through it, and you know you're feeling awful and he's just condemned. Mm-hmm. Listen, God doesn't want you to stay in guilt and shame. You're not trying to earn your penance. You're not trying to pay off a debt to God. Sometimes the enemy can lie to you and say, "Well, I'll just stay depressed for 6 months and then God will forget." Listen.
Right.
You don't need to wait no 6 months and, you know, walking around dragging your head and all that type of stuff. You can cry out now and say, God, son of David, have mercy on me.
That's right.
And yesterday we talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's the self-righteous person that was just, you know, the Pharisee that then was talking about all his good deeds.
Right.
But it was actually... the tax collector who stood at a distance, who beat at his chest.
Yeah.
And said, have mercy on me. Mm-hmm. Have mercy on me. Well, my goodness, we can welcome our trials.
As friends.
Mm. God's working on us. Amen. God's working on us. Well, in the wisdom moment today, we want to talk about the wisdom moment. And we're going to share this with you. Actually, there's a previous wisdom moment that we shared called In Full View. And we thought it was just perfect to be shared with you today. Listen up.
Well, you know, we're going to be sharing this morning, of course, our nugget of wisdom. We like to be able to focus on, you know, wisdom. We always talk about wisdom. You need wisdom. You know, knowledge without wisdom is ignorance. And so in the proverb that we're actually picking out today from the wisdom moment, let me pull this out right here. You know, there's nothing like the wisdom of the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning as you're listening, driving to your work this morning, or you're taking your kids to school, or you're just kicking back and relaxing, maybe you're listening a little bit later on the archives. I want to encourage you this, that, you know, God is in love with you. He has a plan for you. He is watching you. He wants to know, you know, says, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord. Think about
Amen.
That. so many people, you know, are convinced, you know, think about this. So many people are convinced that that if man doesn't see it, then God doesn't see it.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, yeah. You know, who cares what man sees? It's what God sees, and God sees everything. Everything's in full view of the Lord. You know, one is a fear of man, and one is a fear of God. And we have a fear of man. With a fear of man, what happens is when men aren't around, then we would sin. We literally fall into sin, because the only thing that's keeping us from doing wrong is a man being near us or around us. And it's sort of like children, you know, when children, you know, and they're yet to grow up and be disciplined, they're young kids, and you know, it's when their parents are around, they're acting in the cookie jar,
doing the right thing.
Yeah. And as soon as their parents, you know, go to the other room or something like that, the first thing that may cross that young child's mind is like, the cookie jar is 10 steps away. You know what I'm saying? Because mama has left the room. You know, dad has left the room. But when our ways are in full view of the Lord, we know this. You know what? And they are. That even though I'm thinking about them cookies right now, you know, that he doesn't want me to have those cookies. And so I'm not going to deny the reality that the cookies didn't cross my mind, but that's I am going to say no to the cookies by God's grace, you know, and because I know I don't want to hurt my relationship with the Lord, you know, and I mean, his grace is sufficient, but I don't want to intentionally do something. And so for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all of his paths. Oh my goodness. Not only is he looking, he's going, Now, what was on his mind when he saw those cookies? You know, what was he really thinking about when he didn't take the advice from his pastor? You know, what was he really thinking when he said, I do, or she said, I do? You know, he literally examines her paths.
Oh, my goodness. He's looking, and he's thinking.
Yes, and he's examining them. You think about it. And so then he goes on and says this. Okay, he's everything we're doing is in full view of him. Then, you know, he examines what we're doing. First of all, I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for your finished work on the cross. Thank you for the grace of God.
Amen to that.
You know, and it's almost like you think, look at things that are being invented today. It's like everything's tracking everything. You know, everybody says there's just data being kept on everything, and they're building big storage places to be able to keep all this information that everybody's doing. And I even talked to Daphne, who was talking to Jamie. Hello, Jamie, out in Japan. And she was talking about, you know, Facebook deals with all their American issues in America, but the rest of the world issues they deal with in Ireland. They work out of Ireland, and which is pretty interesting. And it's just like everything's, you know, and it's like this. You know what? You know, maybe God's trying to get man's attention and saying, listen, if man can gather that kind of data, you know, and everything we're doing is in full view of him, why not just be concerned about my viewpoint of this? And what it comes to is like, you know, when every man has gathered the wrong data and sinned. Right?
Yes, so true.
Yeah. And so we need Jesus. You know, we need Jesus. And what our reality does when we face this reality is that it brings us closer to the desperate reality of what Jesus did for us. And that's the reason why when you read about him and see him in our destiny, is everybody's going, worthy is the lamb that was slain, you know? And nobody's trying to take center stage. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nope, it was him.
I'm way back here, Lord.
Yeah. And then it goes on and says, it says in 22, it says, the evil deeds of the wicked man ensnare him. You know, and you think about it, being ensnared is like, you know, you're going along. It's not that something hits you. It's just like it just grabs a hold of you, and it won't, you know, it just won't let go. It's just trying to shake, and it's just kind of ensnared you, like a net thrown over you, or like a. And he says, and then he says, the cords of his sin hold him fast.
Mm.
I mean, you think about it, snared and tied with cords. He will die. He goes on to say, for a lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. You know, you might be forgiven this morning, but you still got something tugging on you. You're totally forgiven. You know, you've asked God, you acknowledge what happened, you know, but you got these cords pulling on you. And the wisdom of God is telling you, listen, you can be forgiven, but you still can have something tugging on you because you didn't deal with the root cause of that thing happening in your life. And so you're trying to think, well, I know that I asked God to forgive me, and I know God forgives, and I know I'm forgiven, but something's still pulling on me. That old relationship, that old situation's pulling on me. I just think about it, crosses my mind, it just tugs on my heart. And what happens is there's a cord that needs to be broken.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people call it deliverance, but the truth is it's just cutting things out of our life, getting set free, for completely free. And the wisdom of God today, we're talking about, you know, just breaking those cords, you know, breaking all these soul ties. You know, when you think about a soul tie is your soul is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. So you can be forgiven, but then your thought life has just got something tugging on it. You know, your will's got something tugging on it. Your feelings, like, I feel, you know, I got feel, you know, feelings are fickle, you know, and they'll just amaze. Don't go by your feelings. You know what I'm saying? Don't go by your feelings. You'll be worked over. If you're a person that goes by your feelings, you ask people around you, they probably consider you a roller coaster ride.
Up and down everywhere, huh?
Yeah, right. You know, you understand why people, when they get older, that you say, they're just so wise. But, you know, one of the things that they are, they're just tired. It's just like, they don't have the energy to do that anymore. You know, I like what Zig Ziglar says. He says, I no longer schedule my life based on my calendar based on time. I schedule my life based on energy.
That's good.
Yeah, it's wisdom, right?
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, we're getting the wisdom moment this morning. You know, it's the fifth of the month. We're in the fifth chapter, and we're reading from the last part of a couple of verses in Proverbs about the cord. So you can be forgiven, but you can still be tied down. You still can have, you know, you can be ensnared by a situation. That's why you got to get totally away. You know, you got to get totally away from that person or that situation, that job, that whatever it is. It's just you always are falling into this trap when you're around that whole situation. And I don't care if it's a religious situation. I don't care if it's whatever it is. And you got to get away from it because look what it's doing every time you're around it. And you're thinking, how does this happen? How does it happen? Well, the wisdom of God's telling us because it's cords. It's, you're being ensnared. You know, you're walking into a trap. And so I encourage this morning, you know, as the word of wisdom this morning, to be able to stay, you know, away and ask God to break those things. As a matter of fact, you can repent. God, forgive me. You can renounce, which means you're saying, you know, every legal right that you gave the adversary to torment you, because when we sin, we're giving the enemy legal right to come against us. And then you can renounce. And when you renounce, renounce, and then you can break. And when you break, you speak that out. You've already dealt with it at the cross. You've already took your legal right back. And now you're going to break every soul tie that's been tied to you. So you can repent, renounce, and break and be set free. And there's nothing like being free.
Amen.
There's nothing like being free. And if you're on this endless cycle of falling back in and falling back in, you know, you need to get close to your pastor. You need to get some wisdom and get discipled. But really, you got to repent, renounce, and break and realize you can be forgiven, but you still can be tied down.
Wow, how awesome is that? Well, listen, as we're coming close to the end of the extra hour and the end of our program today, we do want to talk about the VFN Torch Top 3. And the first one we want to share, Pat, if you remember this, why are you hating on me? Chris, why are you hating on me?
Yeah.
And in this segment, if you missed it, you really want to catch this, because in this segment, we talk about bloodthirsty men who hate a man of integrity and seek to kill the upright. And this is what you're seeing right now. You're seeing right now the killing of the upright. Mm-hmm. You're seeing Christians being fired. Mm-hmm. If you missed the first hour, the Speaker of the House, Boehner, actually is firing Christians from key committees. And listen, you may be frustrated because something's going on at your workplace or at your school, and you're wondering, what is happening? I feel like I'm being hated on. And you're not being religiously obnoxious or anything like that.
Right.
But it's called a clue. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says that we're not to be ignorant of of Satan's schemes. That, you know, Satan does not like you. He hates your guts if you're a believer in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because God is inside of you. Jesus, you know, God's inside of you. So let me tell you something. Your presence and the fact that you're trying to live a life of integrity, that you're aiming to live a life that pleases God, oftentimes is going to convict those who absolutely do not want to please God and want to do what they want to do.
That's right.
And so why you hate on me helps you to understand what is actually going on in your day-to-day life. And we also talk about some encouragement
on what Jesus tells us, on what we can do for those that are hating on us. Listen, you can make it through this thing. Let me share some wisdom there on how and what you can do. You know, love your enemy, do good to them, and you will see a huge turnaround that happens. I had a situation one time where this guy was just, I mean, he was the thorn that God gave me. Talk about trials.
Yeah.
And long story short, I'm just thinking, this is not going to, you know, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. You know, this is horrible. And he sat right next to me. Long story short, he entered a trial in his life.
Yeah.
And this same person who basically did not accept Jesus, not was not a fan of Jesus Christ mm-hmm. at all.
And was wearing you out.
He was wearing me out. Mm-hmm. And I just kept loving on him.
I remember that.
I was there later on to be able to minister to him. And in the name of Jesus, he prayed.
Yeah.
And his statement was, he says, man, I just can't believe that you're praying for me today. He says, I just couldn't believe. I just couldn't believe that was really real in your life. I just mm-hmm. couldn't. I never, you know what I'm saying? And mm-hmm. people don't see that. They don't know. Like, they think you got some sort of angle.
Yeah.
Because you're trying to do the right thing with God. And if you stick and stay, let me tell you something, it will turn around, and that's just a tremendous blessing. The second thing we want to talk about is let the main thing be the main thing. And this is a moment of wisdom that we shared. So he who pursues righteousness and love finds prosperity and honor. And it's so important to let the main thing be the main thing in your life, you know, with God. Don't wind up chasing after other things and positions and jobs and careers. Mm-hmm. Let your one pursuit in life, your one passion be God. And if you focus on God, everything else is going to come together. But if you're stretched out trying to do the job thing, if you're stressed out trying to do this other perfect thing, and you're running, you have your values all just which ways. You know, mm-hmm. I have to say, don't submit to your job in a way. Have your job kind of submit to your values. Sometimes people surrender their whole roles as in family member, you know, as a parent, as a believer. They just surrender everything to a particular job, mm-hmm. not because the job requires it, but because they want to throw themselves into something that they sacrifice everything else that's so important to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one we want to talk about is God. God alone is more than enough. God alone is more than enough. It's impossible. The same way it's impossible not to have water touch you when you swim or air away from us, so is it impossible to keep away the lies that Satan does to, you know, tries to do to your children. I mean, you know, so just like Satan just tries to just keep throwing all these lies at you. And the only way one can keep themselves from free from these false lies is to abide, right. is to spend time with God and to hear God's voice. And so in the moment, you know, in this time of this moment of wisdom, you know, we share about how God is more than enough. No matter what the devil tries to lie and throw at you mm-hmm. to try to deceive you and get you to doubt who God is and what he's going to do, stay in your word, stay abiding, and remember that God is more than enough.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.